everybody. I'm Jared. This is Sans News Bites. Annotated news updated from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. And we're going to try something a little bit different because when I released episode 5, I noticed that I was making mistakes. The whole point of trying to do a podcast is to learn. You try something, if it's not working, do something else. And for the most part, I had been doing quite well with this new series over at Sans. But we got something wrong and may have been confused. I wasn't corrected, but the point being that I realized that this wasn't working. So instead of reading the entire newsletter, we're taking the headlines, we're going to read what they initially wrote about whatever the issue is they wrote about, and then I'm going to put my spin on things. This is going to be April 11th's newsletter. This is volume 27, number 28. Top of the news. Oracle denies cloud breach because servers were, quote, obsolete, end quote. Now, I'm curious myself, and by the way, this is the top story of the section. But I'm really going to be curious on what you guys think. And yes, I am going to go seek out an article on this. There's lots of coverage on this, including from Bleeping Computer and others. And yes, we are going to go ahead and link to the newsletter where you can read all of the commentary from the editors. So you will still have access to it, but that's the portion of the newsletter we're going to not cover. The next item in top of the news is U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency says breach is considered a major cybersecurity incident. And finally, CIS will provide gap funding for MSISAC. Now, here's what's in the rest of the week's news. Update WhatsApp for Windows to fix attachment RCE flaw. Those are never good, no matter what type of RCE it is. CISA adds 5 CVEs to KEV. Including vulnerabilities in Sentra Stack, Windows CLFs or CLFS, and Crush FTP. Here we go again with Fortinet, as they're back in the news. Under the rest of the news this time, so it's probably not as bad as maybe the headline might see. Fortinet releases update to fix critical unverified password change vulnerability in 40 Switch, that's now F-O-R-T-I Switch. And this is probably why it's better we use Braille, so that we understand how things are written. Because speech said 40, and I was thinking it was the number 40. But now I see what it really is. There are two items from the Patch Tuesday realm. The first is Patch Tuesday includes updates for more than 120 vulnerabilities, and the other is other Patch Tuesday updates for April. Then we've got ChatGPT used in business spam campaign. That probably didn't surprise me any. I mean, we are talking one of the biggest items ever being used these days. Europol report on biometric vulnerability preparedness for law enforcement. And finally, Sensata Technologies reports ransomware attack. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to start going through items. And I'm going to start by telling you that you can let me know what you think by email or iMessage, tech@menvi.org, text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975, or you may call the comment line. If you get me, you can talk to me live. And if I happen to be unavailable, then you can drop a voicemail. And if you want a callback, I can give you one. And if you want your comments aired, we can make that happen too. Why not? Let's get started. Oracle denies cloud breach because servers were, quote, obsolete. After denying that a reported March 20th, 2025 breach of Oracle Cloud took place, Oracle has now sent emails to customers informing them that, quote, a hacker did access and publish usernames, end quote, and encrypted or hashed passwords specifying that the credentials were on, quote, obsolete servers that were never a part of OCI, end quote, and therefore that, quote, the Oracle Cloud, also known as Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI, has not experienced a security breach. That's the end of the quote there. Oracle's notification email states that in the specific context of OCI customer environments, customer data and cloud service have not been compromised. Multiple news sources have received confirmation of the leaked data's authenticity from Oracle customers. Kevin Beaumont characterized Oracle's response as, quote, wordplay, and asked, how long was the attacker in the SAA's solution that Oracle managed? What did they do with the access? How long were they in for? Why were legacy, that's in quotes, systems containing customer info left unmanaged and insecure? Oracle is currently facing a class action lawsuit over a separate breach of Oracle Health servers, also not on publicly acknowledged by the company. And let me just say that Oracle, you must be ashamed of yourself. You want to have good publicity, not bad publicity. This is not the time to be screwing up. You want your customers to know what is happening, right? You're saying no. I hear you saying no. Well, that's fine. Then when your OCI product does get breached, nobody is going to believe you. Nobody will ever believe you now when there's actually a true breach of systems that you actually, quote unquote, maintain. Even though the server is legacy and it's online, your due diligence is to maintain it. Take the incident with Mailman when we first started having issues along the Jared Reimer network and its different accounts that we maintain. While there's really nothing I can do, my customers use Mailman. That is because it's available and there's really nothing else to meet our needs. There are other services, but unfortunately, everything costs money and I have to draw the line somewhere. Otherwise, I'll eventually go broke. And this goes for you too, Oracle. If these servers were legacy, how were they even accessed to begin with by actors who pilfered off with the data that is then confirmed, yet you're saying, F you, this is not something that is current because these servers are legacy and you shouldn't pay attention to that because we maintain our production stuff. I say, F you. U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency says breach is considered a major cybersecurity incident. The U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, OCC, told Congress that a February email system breach is considered a major cybersecurity incident. The breach was initially disclosed on February 26th. The updated information provided to Congress says the OCC became aware of the incident on February 11th. The breach led to the theft of highly sensitive information relating to the financial condition of federally regulated financial institutions used in its examinations and supervisory oversight processes. The intruders had access to the email system for more than a year. In all, the incident compromised more than 150,000 emails from bank regulators dating back to 2023. Why the hell did it take this long to even know about the breach? If you had used tools that detected unauthorized access, we wouldn't be talking about this, would we? There are devices out there that could assist you in detecting this type of anomaly so that you could deal with it immediately. I remember now, at one point, although we've never talked about them, but there is a company out there that sells canaries. That's what they call them. And this is actually a true working domain called canary.tools. And they advertised on Twit. Now, the price itself would be out of this network's price point. But the short version is that if you're a company, you would buy these devices and it would quietly alert you to anomalies. That's the whole point of it. And as Neil said at one point, it notified him of particular things going on the network when they were testing a device that they had gotten as part of one of their shows. So, if you get one of these, or several of these, you could put them throughout your network. I don't know how this works, but you could, in theory, have had this stopped. 150,000 emails. That's a lot of emails. Good luck now. It's April. We're finding out about this more Then a month after the fact, CIS will provide gap funding for MS ISAC. In the wake of funding cuts affecting the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center, MS ISAC, the Center for Internet Security, CISA, has said they will provide temporary gap funding so MS ISAC can continue providing services to state and local governments. MS ISAC has more than 18,000 members who receive services that include network intrusion detection, a malicious domain blocking and reporting service, endpoint detection and response, a cybersecurity self-assessment program, and a 24/7 security operations center. And we understand that CISA themselves are having issues. They've laid off a lot of people. And now we're in a real heap of trouble because now we don't have the expertise to try and defend our own stuff, including critical infrastructure. Well, you can probably blame our administration at some point because they're trying to cut, quote, unnecessary spending. But is it actually working? How's that going for everybody who relies on these types of agencies to be able to help you out of a jam? I hope the White House actually gets infiltrated. And then when they call CISA, the cyber security people that they're supposed to be calling, they're going to say, well, we don't really have the staffing to help you, Mr. President. And you're going to beg them to do it, and they're going to do it, and then because they're short-staffed, other companies are going to be in trouble. I wonder how that's really going to work out in practice if that really were to happen. Get the funding necessary to keep CISA and MS ISAC back up and running to the staffing levels necessary to help companies deal with the threats of today. They're not getting better, they're actually getting worse. Update WhatsApp for Windows to fix attachment RCE flaw. Meta has published a security advisory disclosing a spoofing issue in WhatsApp desktop for Windows, fixed as of version 2.2450.6. CVE 2025-30401, CVS score not yet provided, would allow an attacker to use a maliciously crafted mismatch attachment to cause the recipient to inadvertently execute arbitrary code rather than view the attachment when manually opening the attachment inside WhatsApp, because the software would display the attachment according to its MIME type, but would select the file opening handler based on the file name extension. The flaw was reported through Meta bug bounty submission by an external researcher. Bleepy Computer notes that a similar flaw resulting in unwanted execution of Python and PHP attachments was patched by WhatsApp in July 2024. Yet, why are we finding about this now? We should have found out about this then. Why is it taking so long for us to get news of very high importance like this? This is absolutely ridiculous, folks. I've never heard of such delays where it would take almost a year for us to be notified of something you long patched, although I'm sure we've covered other issues similar that have been well since patched and we find out about it. But this, I mean, RCE is probably one of the worst bugs you can ever have, if I should say so myself. This is absolutely crazy. I hope that we can better be notified of issues when patches are available. The news can then put out what's wrong, why we need to patch, and we then could make our own decision whether it's the right time or whether we feel it's important enough for us to update, whatever the case may be. Come on now. This 6 month to a year waiting period, especially on something like this, where patches were already put in place, is ridiculous. CISA adds 5 CVEs to KEV, including vulnerabilities in CenterStack, Windows Cliffs, or otherwise probably known as CLFs, and Crush FTP. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has added 5 CVEs to their known exploited vulnerabilities KEV catalog this week. The vulnerabilities include a use after hard-coded cryptographic key vulnerability in Gladinet, CentraStack, CVE 2025-30406, a use after free vulnerability in Microsoft Windows Common Log File System. Alright, so this is CLFS. Driver, CVE 2025-29824. an authentication bypass vulnerability in Crush FTP CVE-2025-31161 and two vulnerabilities in Linux kernel, an out of bounds read issue CVE-2024-53150 and an out of bounds access issue CVE-2024-53197. The vulnerabilities have mitigation due dates between April 28th and April 30th. My question, especially with the 2024 CVE we just read, why are you allowing that to be patched by April 30th? I can understand the 2025 ones, but one of these is a 2024 and they want it patched by April 30th. If that was available in my software and I knew about the bug, or even if I didn't and it told me I needed an update, I would be updating it, folks. I would be updating that software. Especially if the notes told me there was something really bad that needed patching. In fact, I would be updating within the month. Now, as we make the page turn, we're going to talk now about Fortinet. Fortinet releases updates to fix critical unverified password change vulnerability in FortiSwitch. And remember, this is F-O-R-T-I. Fortinet has released FortiSwitch updates to address an unverified password change vulnerability, CWE-620, in FortiSwitch GUI that may allow a remote unauthenticated attacker to modify admin passwords via a specially crafted request. The issue was discovered internally. The flaw affects multiple versions of FortiSwitch. Users are urged to update to versions 6.4.15, 7.0.11, 7.2.9, 7.4.5, or 7.6.1. For users unable to update immediately, Fortinet suggests a workaround that involves disabling http/https access from administrative interfaces and configuring trusted hosts to limit the hosts that can connect to the system. And I don't know why they have the brackets for ing in both of those. That screwed me up a little bit. But anyway, The good news here, folks, is that it was addressed internally. It was found, patched, and you should update. But I don't know how many times we've talked about this company and the vulnerabilities, and pretty serious ones at best. Maybe it's time to find another product if these guys seem to not be meeting your needs. This is pretty big. I think this is probably the biggest one we've seen. Patch Tuesday includes updates for more than 120 vulnerabilities. On Tuesday, April 8th, Microsoft released fixes for more than 120 security issues across their product line. 11 of the vulnerabilities included in the April release are rated critical. Among the issues addressed this month is a zero-day vulnerability, a high-severity use-after-free issue in Windows Common Log File System, CLFS, driver that can lead to local privilege elevation, CVE 2025-29824. Other Patch Tuesday updates for April. Tuesday, April 8th also saw security updates from many other vendors, including Adobe, which patched 30 vulnerabilities in ColdFusion, 11 critical, as well as multiple vulnerabilities in a variety of products. Ivanti, which addressed 6 vulnerabilities in endpoint management, endpoint manager, VMware, which addressed vulnerabilities in Tanzu Greenplum and Tanzu Greenplum Backup, Zoom, Google Chrome, Siemens, Schneider Electric, Rockwell Automation, and ABB. ChatGPT used in business spam campaign. Researchers at Sentinel Labs have observed a spam campaign targeting small and medium-sized business websites, contact forms, and chat widgets using the chat API and OpenAI's GPT-4o mini model to generate customized text, then automating sending large quantities of messages using the Akira bot framework. The researchers note the use of the LLM-generated content likely helps these messages bypass spam filters, as the spam content is different each time a message is generated. The framework also rotates which attacker-controlled domain is supplied in the messages, further conflicting spam filtering, complicating spam filtering efforts. OpenAI has disabled the API key involved and is continuing to investigate. Sentinel Labs recommends using the set of rotating attacker-controlled domains as indicators of compromise and blocking them as the content of the messages is not consistent. I say, holy crap. This is 4 and the letter O, by the way. Holy crap, this doesn't necessarily surprise me. I've been getting so many emails in my contact forms telling me, for example, that I can get Instagram followers, or I can get, you know, lots of traffic by just using a line of code on my website, and it would generate an entire web page. I mean, I would be seeing all kinds of things. I wonder if some of these have been generated by this AI. I've been paying attention more to my jaredrammer.net contact form, but I know that I've been getting a lot of contact forms over at White Cane Travel, and I know all of them are spam. I'm pretty confident of that. If it was legitimate, they would be contacting me again or even calling. Speaking of which, I should probably go check that website to make sure that things are up to date, because changes have had to be made. Europol report on biometric vulnerability preparedness for law enforcement. Europol has published a report that identifies potential ways of exploiting vulnerabilities, thus enabling law enforcement agencies to update their systems and detect such incidents during investigations. In addition to describing attack scenarios for a variety of biometric protections, the report offers mitigation suggestions, including raising awareness within law enforcement, adopting advanced evasion detection techniques, ensuring that biometric systems have security baked in from the beginning, collaborating with experts, establishing standardized reporting and data aggregation, and ensuring that data are processed securely. The report was created as a collaborative effort by Europol's Operational and Analysis Center and the Europol Innovation Lab. And finally, folks, Sensita Technologies reports ransomware attacks. Major industrial sensor manufacturer Sensata Technologies has filled an 8K form with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, disclosing a ransomware incident involving encryption of company devices and theft of files that took place on April 6, 2025, impacting operations including shipping, receiving, manufacturing, production, and support functions, with no timeline given for full restoration of services. Interim measures are in place to maintain certain functions and, on learning of the attack, Sensata proactively took its network offline, implementing response protocols and containment measures. Third-party cybersecurity professionals are assisting with ongoing investigation. The company will notify individuals and regulatory authorities after reviewing the files that were accessed and stolen. The company does not currently expect the incident to have a material financial and operational impact between now and June 30th, 2025. And I say, that's great. We don't know a whole lot, and of course, I've never heard of these guys. By the way, if I'm mispronouncing something, please let me know so that I can better pronounce them correctly. I would appreciate that. You can email or iMessage me at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975, or call the comment line. You can either talk to me or leave a message. 888-405-7524. The editorial board of Sans News Bites, Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris LG, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Schipanzer, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vetronet, William Hugh Murray, Sands Institute, 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. I'm Jared Reimer. This has been the Sands News Bites updates and thoughts from their newsletter dated April 11th, 2025. Their newsletters are published twice weekly, Tuesdays and Fridays, and we will try to release them within 2 days after release. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, I know this was a rough beginning to a new chapter in trying to get the news out, but we will make sure that we get better over time. If you would like a copy of the Braille, please let me know. We will be producing them in English American Braille edition, ready for a 40-cell display. If you need other cell files, please let me know and we can have that processed for you. Thank you so much for listening. A link will be in our show notes. And we'll see you next time across the Jared Reimer Radio Network.